Welcome to Take Note. This is a podcast about keeping a notebook and paying attention, not paying attention to the possibility that Russia has funneled money into the NRA, because if you think about that at all and you don't know the answers, it just drives you crazy. No, just paying attention in general. Ted, how are you?
I am great, and I'm mostly excited that this is not a podcast about Russia or the NRA or anything other than staring at the clean blank pages of our lovely little stationery products and writing down just some of the silly little moments that catch our attention through the course of the day. And on this podcast, we happen to call those "What Do You Gots?" So I'm going to ask you, Adam, other than a life destroying obsession with this connection between Russia, alleged connection between Russia and the NRA, what do you got?
Well, mostly it is just me writing in my notebook, why can I not stop thinking about this? But I also watched Mindhunter with Jennifer last night. This morning, she said she had a horrible nightmare. But she wasn't being hunted by a serial killer. She was the serial killer in the nightmare. I asked who she was killing. She said, I was stabbing random people. That's my wife.
I think it might be time for you to... I'm going to say the Labor Day weekend's going to be good for you. Maybe it's time for a media break.
You're right. This is, those two things together are pretty dark.
maybe it's time for you to put the old phone into a Ziploc bag and throw it into the bottom of a well and start fresh.
What do you got, Ted?
Okay, this is my note. Outside the sporting goods store, as I walked back to my car, I saw an F-150 rolling slowly past the front so the driver could get a good long look at the elevated deer feeder. Hunting season is apparently coming upon us.
What is an elevated deer feeder?
It's a barrel up on a tripod that's like 10 feet off the ground.
And what does it do?
I think it feeds deer, and then they walk over and you can shoot them. Pretty sure that's how it goes down.
Okay.
But he wanted to learn every contour of that contraption, and he slowed down to a crawl and soaked it in, took it all in, and he sped off.
Well, this is going to be a dark episode.
Yeah, we've taken a turn. We've lost the thread of our life-affirming, peaceful, meditative tone, and now we're just going full something.
Yep, sorry, everybody.
What do you got, Adam?
All right, well, I'm going to read one that I wasn't going to read because of the tone I accidentally got us started on. Wiley, my four-year-old, I said, hey, I reminded him, tonight you want me to tell you a Spider-Man versus dinosaur story? And I reminded him of this because he never wants me to put him to bed, even though when I put him to bed, like, I do an excellent job and he actually goes to sleep. But he's too excited by his mom. Like, he loves his mom too much that he doesn't want to sleep. I mean, it's good. Anyway, so I'm always trying to, like, sell me putting him to bed. So, tonight you wanted me to tell you a Spider-Man versus dinosaur story. He said, no, the dinosaur works for Spider-Man. So I had to do that.
Well, if you're gonna get the sale, you gotta meet the customer halfway.
That's right. Yeah. What do you got?
Okay, so my wife and I were doing a bit of organizing some shelves with some bins.
Shelving bin time.
Shelving and binning, and the idea of putting labels on the bins. I think it was actually my idea. Give myself a little pat on the back for that. But when the idea came up, I said, oh, hey, I can do that. My wife said, I don't want your handwriting. I said, such a sweetheart. And she said, hand me the scissors. What do you got, Adam?
In my house, we are a little obsessed with the idea that French school children get much better lunches than our children. And so there's a website that I would say I go to probably once every 6 months that just details the menus of French school children's lunches. And so what I've got here is a list of things that are on French school lunches that my 10-year-old said that he would be willing to eat. And I don't actually believe him. He said he'd eat all these things. But I'm not actually sure. First one, lentil salad. I think the first time I send him with a lentil salad, even though he is not a picky eater and tries all sorts of new things, I think we might have a problem.
So he's talking big.
Yeah.
Big words.
The next one, though, we got into a debate about which carrots he'd like to have for lunch. He wants long, uncooked carrots. He'd prefer them to not be peeled because he would like to eat like a rabbit, because that would entertain him while he's eating the carrots. We came to a compromise.
Was that a detail on the French menu website, long, unpeeled carrots?
No. This started at roast turkey and peas. He likes peas. I mentioned carrots. I wanted to find out if he wanted the uncooked or the cooked. He said uncooked. I said baby carrots. He said no, long uncooked carrots.
Adam.
Yeah.
Here in America.
Yeah.
Which is where it's where you and I are both located, albeit you've to the north, I to the southwest. We do, long uncooked carrots are available in this country.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, carry on.
I thought he was too excited to eat like a rabbit. That was my concern with the long uncooked carrots. Anyway, we got a list here, right? The list's pretty good, but then it ends with test vinaigrette, right? Like vinaigrette, we're going to make some vinaigrette at home. We're going to see if he's down for that. Test lasagna. Only reason lasagna is a possibility is because he loves Garfield. Test shepherd's pie. I don't even know how we got shepherd pie on the list.
The book Bringing Up Bebe came up in conversation recently too. Were you ever exposed to this? Maybe in the first months of having your first infant, that's when I discovered it.
No, I'm pretty sure that's what's wrong with my children, is that I wasn't exposed to it.
It's an American who has a baby, I think, in France, so she's an expatriate. And she just exhaustively describes all the ways in which the French do things better than Americans when it comes to raising children. And I actually, one of my favorites was when you put a baby to bed, 7 p.m., close the door, don't open the door again until 7 a.m., which that was actually advice that served me quite well. But the other one that I did not understand at the time, and I still don't understand, is that the French do not give their children snacks in between meals, which of course has to be utter falsity. I think the French would like to think that they do not give their children snacks, but I'm sure they do.
It's because they're walking around with baguettes at all times.
Well, and so this is my 6.5 years after the fact, sticking it to that book. Take that, Bringing Up Bebe, that actually helped me quite a bit. That last chapter was full of crap.
What do you got, Ted?
All right, so I'm cheating a little bit because I didn't actually write this one down in my notebook. But it is the packaging. So we ordered some deck chairs. Some very cool turquoise stringy around a circle things. They're fantastic. It came with a special gift, according to the whatever. And there's like five of these things wrapped in plastic. They appear to be collapsed paper lamps that you would get at IKEA or something. And the packaging has a lot of text on it. I'm going to read that text, the title of which is Wishing Light. And to be clear, it's not at all obvious what these are for other than having sort of a wireframe and these paper lamp vibe. Wishing Light Operating Instructions. Step 1. After the distribution of fuel to packaging equipment Kong cross wire, in the side of the field, again deduction presses. The fuel pressure lock firmly. Step 2. A person, Zhuzhuan light, take up a top. Another person, fuel ignited the four angle. Step 3. Wait for that, the heat, enough light. Lanterns person, lest loose atop hand, changes grips under the light to encircle. Has when the lifting force may let go, releases for flying. Step 4. Did you have a question?
Was it lantern person or lanterns person?
Let's see.
I just want to know if the person's got one or two.
Lantern's person. Step four. Zhu Yuan, light rose slowly the sky. Do not forget wishing go. Notice item. Should choose at the option open, calm environment released for flight. No fire ban in areas. The tall building, the floor, and so on have covers under the thing to release for flight. Excuse me. Must leave outside the airport 10 kilometers from flying. Another notice item. Zhu Yuan light can only be used for the distribution, the special purpose of fuel, prohibited by burning, replace. Zhu Yuan light are on the rise. That of the flying cannot the long time not put, and the flight not to be append the foreign body. And finally, children must be under the custody of the adult's use.
I get a couple of thoughts. The first, get a lot of double and triple negatives there. I mean,
there might have been a quadruple.
Yeah. Now, having said that,
yes,
I mean this. Parts of that are really beautiful.
So quick translation of the translation. This is a giant piece of paper that used. Basically set on fire and release into the air.
Wow.
I feel like they're really kind of glossing over what is essentially, if your main goal was to start a forest fire, this would be the perfect tool to achieve that very specific goal.
If you're producing products that you're supposed to just light on fire and let go of, then that level of like legalese doublespeak probably is required, because could you imagine, like, that's their defense when you try to sue them, like, no, clearly here in these instructions, like, we clearly stated that you're doing it wrong.
Hey, we told you to wait for that to heat enough light.
No one is going to be able to proceed with their case because they're not going to be able to penetrate the instructions.
It's a part of their business plan. I like that theory.
Double jeopardy is what they call that.
Okay, so normally we would jump into our segment that we like to call "Sticking with It," but we wanted to go a little light on the sticking with it, because by virtue of the nature of a sticking with it, it's something you use. Over time, that you keep going back to, there's not an overwhelming supply of them, so we're breathing a little bit easy. Is that fair to say, Adam?
Yeah, the sticking with its do not poureth over.
And so the tack I decided to take as I was thinking about this was, I actually came up with an anti sticking with it, which I would define as something that I keep trying to like. But despite all of my best efforts, I hate.
I feel like this is a very, like, an Adam sort of move on your part. I feel like you are playing my character this week on Take Note, and I love it.
Let's roll with it. And so my anti-sticking with it is the Sharpie pen.
Okay.
I love a regular old Sharpie marker, just like everybody else. Those are fantastic. Now, the Sharpie pen, I have tried so many times, and it seems on its face that I would enjoy something with a pretty trim body style, a nice felt tip, like kind of a drawing experience, like a clear line. And you know, they have been praised by, like, I think it's on Brad Dowdy over at the Pen Addict. It's on his top five. I can't remember what the category is, but, you know, top five pens you can find it.
Top five Sharpie Staples pens. Sharpie pens number four.
Is that, and so there's this expectation that it should work for me, but I hate it, and I've always hated it. Like, every time, like, the felt tip always caves in just enough that it creates like a sort of weird angle. So that you're always having to change the angle that you write with, and it just is never, It writes a little too thin, you know, like thinner than I expect it to every time. And I just keep going back to this thing year after year thinking, oh, great, I love that pen. And then I start to use it. I'm like, no, I can't stand this pen. Why do I always think I'm going to love it?
So
I say maybe it's a branding win, like the Sharpie brand is so strong uh-huh. that it in my brain, it just, I don't know, always overpowers it.
Well, I didn't know we were going to talk about the Sharpie pen, but I got a few thoughts. I don't have exactly the same experience. I've got a didn't stick it experience. I bought them. I briefly thought I loved it, and then I don't know what happened. And I think there's a few issues. I think that when they were new, there was a lot of excitement for them. So I wonder if some of the blog posts that you might see about them are from the moment when they were new. And it might be due to the Sharpie brand. Then I also think that there are a lot of Sharpie pen-like products that maybe don't share the name, that when I was first looking for the Sharpie pen, I ended up buying a lot of different Sharpies of varying qualities that weren't exactly the Sharpie pen. And so I don't even have a strong memory of what was wrong with the Sharpie pen, because it was such a mix of so many different things.
Well, you're totally right, and it's slipping my mind at the moment, but I'll link up to it. It's the Copic or one of those, like there are many drawing pens that are basically the better version of the Sharpie pen, where they are these, I don't know if felt tip is the right term, but they're these feltish, really fine tip pens, and they
are you talking about the Pigma Micron?
Exactly, yeah. That's what I'm thinking of. The Pigma Micron is the Sharpie pen that actually does what it says it's going to do and is actually performs really well. So when you compare the Sharpie pen to that, it's just a disappointment every time. But the Sharpie pen even veers over into like, I don't like using it. It's not even just that it doesn't meet that standard. It's like actually not a good pen. Yeah. And that's why it's my anti-sticking with it.
Can we call that didn't stick it, or is that?
I actually, as I was thinking, I thought you'd be the sticking against it. Sticking against it.
So I don't know if I've talked about it, but I've used a Pigma Micron in my bullet journal at least since January, maybe even a little longer than that. And I like it a lot. And one of the things that surprised me about that Pigma Micron is that you can find that at like an art supply store, like a arts and crafts store, like a Michaels or whatever. You can find it at a really good price.
Well, they're as far as I know, they're renowned drawing pens, you know, whether it's like comics and it's just art, you know, the whole gamut. I think that those are well established, and you can get all kinds of colors. I think I've had an orange one for a while. That's really nice.
You know, you say that, and now I have to buy an orange one. That's how that works for me. I won't use the orange one as much as the black one, but you've said it. I have to purchase it.
Well, in a weird way, that actually segues us into the next thing that I wanted to talk about, and I will preface this by saying it is truly a byway of the pen user's experience. This is not going to suck in the mass audiences that we've been gambling on, and that I have spent my retirement savings building up this podcast for. But so I have these two inks, like an ink that I got in Paris is the J. Albin Coral des Tropiques, which is tropical coral, and it's this pink. It's this lovely pinkish orange hue. So I got that, and then a while ago I got the Hiroshizuku Kirisame, which is a gray, right? So I have these two colors, and the gray I loaded up a while ago with my Twisby Eco, which is kind of my nicest fountain pen, which I'm okay with that. And I tried to use this gray, and it felt like I was writing in pencil. And it was like the gray, like it was just, there was something just sort of unsatisfying about this color. It was a little too light. It didn't really feel like ink. It didn't have this inky vibe to it, like you know, a great deep blue, or you know, a green or a purple, this kind of thing. And it was just always unsatisfying to me. And I had a little bit of a flashback with the coral, because I loaded that up and it just felt so light. It was like it's a perfectly nice color, but it just was not creating this satisfying feeling. And I realized, I had a Pigma Micron revelation, that my nibs are all fine on my various fountain pens, and that in picking these light colors, I am not sort of like matching up my nib action with these colors that need, I haven't even tested this yet, but my working theory is that they need to like throw down a lot of ink to counteract the kind of lightness. And this is a question I'm going to put to number one fan of the show and occasional co-host Ryan Sly, who he's actually in his fountain pen journey. He's got an approach, which is that he loves to match, like he'll do some work to match his inks with various nibs. And he's even gotten kind of the italic nibs that'll create this big wide swath, and some fine nibs and some mediums. So this is my note to self to pursue that. But if you're thinking fountain pen colors, then maybe that's something you keep in mind, is like, if you're going to go with a lighter hue, think about what kind of nibs you have. And if they're going to,
why does anyone want a fine nib? Like, in your experience? Yeah,
good question.
Okay.
I would say, you know, if a lot of people use them in field notes, for example, and in a field notes, even if you're using a fountain pen, you don't want to drown the thing and, you know, end up with a line that just kind of bleeds out, or that just takes up a lot of space. I mean, I think we've talked about it before, but you're more of a free former. You don't necessarily stick to the lines. Is that, are you still rocking that style?
Yeah, absolutely. And in my experience with a fountain pen, anytime I'm using a fine nib or an extra fine nib, it just seems very scratchy. And if I'm going to do that, you said it was like writing with a pencil. I would just write with a pencil or a ballpoint pen.
You can definitely find a nice sweet spot where, you know, a fine nib that writes well can be fantastic, and it doesn't feel like you're just throwing ink around. So I think I'm a big fan of them, except when I have realized that it's not matching up well with my ink. And I think part of it is I get very disappointed in the ink, but I'm sort of trying to convince myself that if I'm not using the right tool for it, then maybe it's something I need to change, and not necessarily the ink that needs to change. I hear that you ordered some pencils from CW Pencils.
I did. I was inspired by Johnny Gamber's blog post, right? That's Pencil Revolution. I think on Instagram it's Pencilution. Sometimes I swap them. But he did a blog post on the Aspera Jumbo Pencils, just as they appeared at the CW Pencil store. And these are 5 jumbo pencils with, I don't have them on me because I bought them for my son. I think they're hexagon pencils, 5 different colors. The paint on them is just bold and beautiful, and they're inexpensive. And so I had to buy some of those for my son. And so at the same time that I needed to load up my cart to get my free shipping. So I bought those pencils. They're fantastic. He's really excited about them, and we'll link to Johnny's blog post in the show notes. I also got myself, and so because I've been sticking with it, I created a little rule for myself where I'm not going to buy pencils for myself, but I'll buy pencils for children, and I'll buy pencil accessories for myself. So I bought some Highline metallic pencil caps. Do you use a pencil cap, Ted?
I have. I lost mine. I'm on the fence about a pencil cap.
We have become a pencil cap family in our house. Big fans, but you don't want to buy an expensive one. So the Highline Metallic ones at CW Pencils are reasonably priced. There's, I think, a similar brand at my Japanese stationery store, Kinokuniya, that are very reasonably priced. And you got to be able to, I mean, the ones that I've bought at the stationery store, they break after a little while because I push them on too deep or whatever. So they got to be cheap enough that you don't mind that if they break. And I got the ones from CW in a pack of six. I don't remember the cost, but pretty reasonable. Happy with that. Then the company that makes that also makes the company's Highline, a neon color marker. It is a yellow highlighter pencil. The cap, it has a sharpener built into it, which is pretty fantastic.
That's pretty chill.
Yep. It says Highline, but it also says Katsua. So the brand might be, maybe the company that makes this Katsua and Highline is a brand of theirs. I don't know. Then I got some rainbow pencils for my older son. And
I keep, what with your whole dedication to literally a single pencil, I keep expecting you to stop listing things that you bought from the pencil store, but yeah. By all means.
Okay, so the neon color, the highlighter pencils, definitely, I violated my rule there, but, I didn't buy a regular pencil. I bought a bright yellow pencil. Of course, today, as we were getting ready to record the show, I found a different bright yellow highlighter pencil that I'd purchased from them previously. I bought my older son these pencils that the shavings look like rainbows. We haven't used those yet. But then what I wanted to talk about was, I think, my failure. I bought the Craft Design Technology, which is a Japanese brand, pencil cap. It is a small, it's not a rectangle. I don't know my geometry. It's almost a rectangle.
Is it a rhombus?
It might be a rhombus, yeah. It would be a rectangle except for one edge. It's actually five-sided, but it's not a, anyways. This is a piece of leather. This is an $18 pencil cap. That is basically a tiny little wallet for your pencil. And when you put your pencil on it, especially if you're using the all-white Mitsubishi mark sheet, your pencil looks like a spatula, Ted. And
a leather spatula.
Yes. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure no one ever has wasted $18 quite like this.
I like that you went with the affordable, sensible pencil caps, but that just wasn't enough for you.
I saw the picture, and now the picture is what it actually looks like. So I don't know what happened between when I saw the picture online and when I got it. I'll say I could be wrong, because when I saw this thing, I was like, there is no way that this cap is going to stay on this pencil. But so far it has. And there is some sort of like middle layer to help ensure, I think, that it stays tight on the pencil. I don't know. This was a failing of mine. This was like, this will get me to that $40 free shipping. And
it's a free shipper.
Yeah, this was a free shipper. But it wasn't, it wasn't a $4.50 box of pencil. I went to the store to buy a $4.50 box of pencils. I spent $42, including $18, on a thing that makes my pencil look like a spatula.
Let's do this again next week, Adam. What do you say, bud?
Sounds great, Ted.
Check us out on our website, takenote.space. There's a say hi or say hello button there where you can shoot us an email and let us know what you're thinking about. If you got a question, we always like to discuss your questions or your queries on the podcast, so send us one of those. You can find us on Twitter at Take Note Pod.
I should note that none of those places are encrypted, and so if you do have any tips about any conspiracies, you might not want to leave them there.
Wow. Oh.